And welcome into another Saints Sunday here on WWL, getting it kicked off. Saints Bucks coming up from Tampa Bay, Raymond James Stadium at noon today. Welcome on into our program, and this is your show. So open lines all 2 hours of this program as you get you set, and then we'll throw it to the countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon and Christian Garrick. The phone line is 504-260-1870 as you wake up.
Week 14, Seth.
Sure. Got it right here on the top of the sheet.
I know.
17 of 23.
Good job.
Get that out of the way.
Cross it off.
That's right. Show 17 of 23.
Very nice.
Saints are going to have that bye. The problem is, Steve, and we'll get to this a little bit later, they're probably not going to have that overall one seed anymore because they lost to Dallas. So speaking of that, Steve Court, who's over on the opposite side, good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah.
I understand you had a rough 3 days.
I had a really fun 3 days. I did the prep football classic the last 3 days, 14-hour days of the Superdome. And if you can hear my voice cracking a little bit. I'm classically tired, and my voice is tired than I actually am, so it's cracking a little bit. So you gotta pick me up a little bit here.
All right.
You know, a little bit. I'm on the questionable list. You know, I'm going to play, but a little banged up here. We usually start it with Court's Take, which we are, but I want to do a little different take on Court's Take, if you will. I want your take on the loss to Dallas. What's your takeaway from that loss to Dallas now 10 days ago?
Yeah, a couple of different things. Look, we say it all the time. It's not who you play, it's when you play them in this league. And look, I think that Dallas obviously was on an emotional high and completely gassed up for this game. They'd gotten jacked up all week for it, knowing that we were coming in there, knowing that this was supposed to be, from according to Jerry, this was their Super Bowl, and this is how they're gonna have to approach it. And okay, that's great, because that's just part of being there's a time when you get jacked up. And I can go back several times when I think the Saints were sort of in that same boat. You know, obviously the Atlanta game when we came back and things like that, there was just no way, I don't care who was in here, they were going to win that game. But nevertheless, that doesn't have anything to do with it. You still got to play the game. And so, look, the matchups that day, I think were a little rough. I think that we may not play at our best, offensively, but nonetheless, I think you have to give Dallas a lot of credit for what they did. I think their front seven put a lot of pressure on us, and I think that knowing that, look, it's not a secret on how you disrupt a quarterback. Knowing that really they're all suspect of it, and they're all vulnerable to the same kinds of pressure, and I think the inside pressure more than the, on the edges is something that bothers quarterbacks, especially ones that aren't 6'5". So that being said, I think, a lot of most of our stuff is timing stuff. And a lot of times I think that the secondary for Dallas was sort of putting the clamps, if you will. I wasn't too enamored with that. But they were holding our wide receivers long enough, and I think it was the pressure up the middle was just forcing Drew to hold the ball just a little bit longer. I think it was throwing the timing off. And then I think once we sort of got behind that kind of began to cascade a little bit. Look, Dallas did a great job, and I'll say the one thing that they did great defensively was the linebacker play was lights out. They really, really played well. Those two backers did, and Van Der Esch and Smith, and really I didn't see them miss a tackle, which was remarkable. I mean, they really did a great job of playing defensive football. Now, you look back and you saw them. Smith get a hit on Kamara, and that they get fined about $27,000 for it, but that wasn't called. So there's a lot of things that can be called, but like I'm not going to blame anything on the refs. I don't think you do that. That's one of those things that it just is what it is. It's a variable that happens in each and every game, and look, that happens. So look, sometimes you need to get kind of slapped silly defensively. Look, we played it was lights out for us defensively. We absolutely shut them down. Elliott's been blowing people away with 150 and plus a game, and we shut him down to, 76 yards, I think it was?
Yeah, the rush defense, Steve, it's just legit.
And we just stuffed them. And at the same time, 13-10. It wasn't 33-10. It wasn't 43-10. It was 13-10. A loss is a loss, and it doesn't matter what the score was. But, if you look back on it and say, okay, Seth, there was a time that we, going through this gauntlet, that I was surprised that we didn't lose two games during that stretch of just these opponents that we were playing each and every week that were, you know, deep in the playoffs, you know, last year. And so for us to lose a game, yeah, I hated losing against the Cowgirls. I mean, that to me is that's the part that kind of
they're still bothers. The Cowgirls. You and Bobby, I like
no,
this.
I'm not wavering off that. That's always has been and always will be. But the point is you got to give them credit for the way they played, and they played great defensively. They matched up well against us, and they had our number that night. But you know what? I still believe we played that team 10 times. We beat them 9 times.
Yeah, no, okay. I agree. I agree with you,
so
Steve.
So every now and then, look, every dog has his day, you know, and I've been on many sides, both sides of this fence many, many times in my career. And look, it's sort of one of those sobering moments where you sort of have to say, okay, whew, we gotta fix the fence here and figure out what's going on, because we can't let that happen again, because you can rest assured that other teams have said, oh, hey, this is how we rattle number 9. Okay, let's try to do it and replicate that. Now, whether or not they can do it, you know, that's harder to do than say. So we'll see. But that's sort of my take on that. But look, move on and look, get 10 days off, get guys healed up, get our guys back. You know, I think we got everybody back today except for maybe Teron. And that's a good place to be.
Yeah, it is. And that's Court's take from the Saints' loss to Dallas now 10 days ago as the Saints get ready to take on Tampa Bay, trying to avenge that week one loss 48-40. And here's my take on that loss. And I think we live in a society now, Steven, I think you would agree with this, where nobody wants to give credit to the other side, whether it's sports or politics or wherever it is.
I used to tell people all the time, Seth, look, those guys get paid. You know, look, this is somebody else's version of the Saints, okay, who's whoever we're playing that week, just to let you know. They're not disdained. They're not hated by everybody in the world, you know, and it just so happens everybody in the world loves the Saints. Look, that's they've got their big fan base, and they've got just as many supporters and just as many people, you know, as nice as and great as the people in New Orleans Saints fans, but nonetheless, they are just as emphatic about their fan base and their team that they're supporting. So, look, it's the same thing, and you have to give those guys credit for, look, they played a great game, and they beat them.
Oh, it was an unbelievable game. And the tip of the cap thing, we need to bring that back a little bit. Like, you just tip your cap. You know, Omar Vizquel hits a home run off of Nolan Ryan. Don't know if that happened, by the way. Just tip your cap, move on. You know, Saints are the better team. Like you said, they're going to beat this team 9 out of 10 times, and with the way the playoffs and this bracket
they're
is
pros.
Working out. Yeah, the way this bracket's working out, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, the Saints, we'll get into this. Looks like they're going to be the 2 seed if things work out here. They might be on a collision course with Dallas in their opening playoff game in the divisional round. So it's very likely that they'll see Dallas here in the playoffs.
And
you know, probably a pretty good shot
be.
Of that.
It's going to be here.
It would be here.
And guess
yeah,
what?
It's, on the turf.
There's
yeah.
going to be a kind of a sick taste, especially the offense's mouth, about sort of what happened. And I wouldn't be surprised if we ring up some serious points. But if in fact, that ends up being the case. But let's things play out and see where we land here.
Here's a text at 87870 from the 504. Seth and Steve, after a difficult week, I'm looking forward to this game. I will play my drum set ritual before the game. Okay, I got to hear what that drum set ritual is. And at halftime to ensure a victory. Okay, well, I like this. Did you not do this during that Dallas game?
Yeah,
I'm blaming it on you.
Are you telling me that you did not play your drum ritual?
Right. This is all your fault here.
I'm hoping that you haven't just told on yourself.
All right, let's go to break here. When we come back, it is a wet, soggy day in Tampa right now. It is pouring and expected to most of this day. We're going to check in with Steve Geller live out there at Tampa when we come back. Plus, Mike Dottillier comes up second half of the hour to give us his draft day reflections on Mike Evans and Lavonte David, two stars for Tampa Bay. I'm Seth Dunlap, he's Steve Court, getting it set for Saints Sunday. Saints Bucks at noon today. This is the Acadian Windows Fans' First Take on WWL. All right, welcome back. It's Saints Bucks coming up at noon today, and boy, is it wet out in Tampa Bay. I'm getting pictures from DePaul Smith. I'm also looking at social media, and it is pouring out there. And right now, Raymond James Stadium looks like, I don't know, looks like a slip and slide. They have the tarp on the field, but this thing doesn't look good. I think this favors the Saints. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But first, let's bring in Steve Geller, sideline reporter. He'll be on with Zach and Deuce here during Saints game day. Steve's giving us a call from Tampa. Steve, what's going on out there? You staying dry?
Yeah, right now, just decided to go outside the hotel right now to check out some things. And nothing like waking up in the morning to a tornado warning, but luckily that has already passed us by. The worst of it, I was watching the news reports saying that the worst of it is happening right now. And as we get closer to kickoff, the rain's going to taper off some. But right now, it's not even coming down that hard at the moment, but definitely one of those steady, annoying rains. And come around 11 a.m. Central, the rain precipitation is going to drop down to 50%. And then for the noon kickoff, it goes all the way down to 25. So luckily, it seems the worst of this wet weather is coming early on, at least the downpour. We'll check out the field conditions once I get there. The other concern, obviously, is wind, and that's around 10 miles per hour right now. Okay. But other than that, the temperature is 71 degrees, and it's not cold at all here.
Well, that's good. Steve, let me ask you this. So they have the field that's they have a tarp on it, correct?
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, look, I've been there before, and it's that field it drains great, but at the same time, you know, if you've had several inches of rain, it's still going to be really, really soggy. But I guess if they have a tarp, it should be minimal, except the sidelines are going to be a mess, but who cares about that?
Yeah, and we talked to the team and Coach Payton before, you know, game day here leading up to this, and he was talking about, obviously, how crucial footing is going to be. He was talking about having the screw-ins for the cleats, and I'm sure they have an array of different footwear available for these guys they brought with them.
Yeah, look, that's important because I know the last time that we had a talk about that, he had told somebody about their cleats in San Francisco, I believe, and then I believe that
they didn't put them on.
They didn't put them on, and I think they kind of got sideways with Coach, and that then they had to put had to get the. the Black and Decker out there real quick and like switch those spikes out. So
yeah. Steve Geller, really appreciate it, man. I know you're busy out there. Stay dry, all right?
Hey, you took in a game, a Lightning game, huh?
Yeah, it was great. I met a high school buddy who's living down here now, and we got to go to the Tampa Bay Lightning game, and the Bolts lit the scoreboard up. It was a really fun atmosphere. The place was packed. I think they outdraw definitely the Buccaneers and the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, they're definitely the best team in Tampa for sure.
And no doubt. Steve, appreciate it, man. We'll hear you in a couple hours, dude.
Who dat, guys? Thanks.
All right, who dat? Steve Geller out in Tampa Bay. Somebody on the text line asked, do the Bucs have natural grass or turf? It's natural grass at Raymond James Stadium. Steve, Court here, how does that factor in? Is it harder in the rain on turf? Is it harder on natural grass?
Well, it depends on really the surface you're playing from the standpoint of how it drains. I mean, if it's just like some, Midwestern, Chicago Soldier Field turf where, you don't have this sand base that Tampa and Miami have to where, you can pour a ton of water on it and it just completely, it soaks into it pretty quickly. But look, it's going to be, the footing's going to be bad no matter what. You know it is. Even if it's going to rain some when they take the tarp off, you know that. And at the same time, it's going to have enough moisture on there that it's going to be sloppy. So, yeah, you're going to have to put the longer spikes on. And it makes a big difference. It makes a huge difference when you have the spikes that are, usually about a half inch. And I think you got to go to a full inch. Which is, you'd think is a lot, and it feels really, really weird when you first put them on. But
you just don't feel as fast, right? Like you feel like you're catching a little bit.
You just have to lift your feet up, and at the same time, usually the ground is soft enough though to where you're breaking all the way through. As far as the cleat part of it, it's not like you're, on concrete or anything like that. Like you're skating on those tops of those cleats, but. You get on a hard surface or something like that, you're going to slip and bust your butt. Or you see people going to the sidelines or something over towards the thing. That's when you see people sort of looking like they're on roller skates, and they flip and, kind of go, ass over tea kettle there. what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good. By the way, Geller buried the lead in that one. He went to an NHL game. I know you're jealous of that one.
Oh, what? That's so much fun to go to those. That's just...
We didn't have NHL. We had minor league hockey up in Seattle when I was there. I got an NHL team coming, though, Steve. Seattle up there.
Yeah, well, you know what? They used to have one here, the Brass.
Yes, yeah.
And it was, man, they were good. It was fun. I mean, I loved it. I mean, it wasn't in the greatest venue at the time, but it was good. And they had a competitive team.
I want to say hockey, if it's good hockey, especially if it's important or playoff hockey, I think it might be the best live sport.
I'm just telling you, if people in Louisiana, I could give a tutorial on this and just do like about a 1-hour tutorial on this for people that really are interested and know anything about it. And I can tell you right now, if I give them just a couple of things to be interested in, to learn about the rules, hockey's perfect for down here.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, perfect. You got beer.
I agree.
You got fast. You got violence. You got all the stuff that everybody around here likes. And I'm thinking, why not just embrace that? They would love it.
No doubt. Now, speaking of odd sports, not odd sports. Hockey's not an odd sports, but sports we don't have here. Did you hear Atlanta got 78,000 people for the MLS championship?
Yeah, I saw that last night on ESPN.
I mean, that's impressive. I know it's Atlanta. I know we don't like to give them credit, but my goodness, 78,000. That outdraws the Falcons, let's be honest there. I don't think the Falcons have 78,000 in there this year. We'll take a break. We're coming back with your calls and texts, 504-260-1870. Dave Potter remembers the brass. He's telling us in our ear, our producer here this morning. 504-260-1870 is the phone number. Text line 870-870. Back with Mike D'Antilio, too, in just a little bit. Let's throw it to news, national first, then Don Ames over to our left.
It'll be interesting to see how they approach it. Taysom Hill in the Wildcat behind Max Unger. Kamara to his left. Drew Brees split out wide to the left. Handoff inside to Kamara. Runs over the tackler. And Alvin Kamara is in for the touchdown.
Hope to hear a lot more of that. You probably will. A lot of running game out in the rain and weather out in Tampa Bay coming up in noon today. Saints, Bucks, and Steve Court. Here's a question on the text line from the 985. Should I start Drew Brees in my fantasy team with the weather conditions or go with Patrick Mahomes? My answer would be no-brainer, Patrick Mahomes. I think it's going to be pretty tough sledding for the Saints passing game there. Both teams' passing games in that
weather. Yeah, I wouldn't.
You're the fantasy expert, by the way. You're a fantasy nut.
No, I'm a fantasy nut. Look, you never can tell sort of what the weather's going to end up being. It might end up being, you know, okay, you know, after this onslaught here. But, look, it's one thing we could do is run the football. And in weather like this or, you know, when you have field conditions like this, I should say, that's one thing, you know, yeah, we're still got to throw the ball. You know, there's no question about that. We can't be completely one-dimensional and just run the football. But, it's going to be the short type stuff, I would think, anyway. And most of our stuff is short anyway, but, the long handoffs, as I'll say.
Here's a text from the 504. What time do the Saints usually report to the stadium before the game? 2.5 hours about, is that right?
You know, I don't know, because I always used to
say it's about 2.5 hours.
Breakfast was over, and me and the other offensive lineman grabbed a cab, and we were on our way.
Yeah.
Wherever it was.
They're totally different now. Now you get the chartered planes and the chartered buses and limo drivers. And
we were at the stadium.
Rose petals as you step out of the bus.
Way early. Like, you know, if the game was at noon, we would be at the stadium by 8.
Wow, that's early. Yeah.
You know, I had things to do, man. I had to take my shower. You know, I had to get
at the stadium?
At the stadium. Mm-hmm. I had to get in the hot tub, you know, and then I had to get Tate, and then I had to go over my play. But I had things to do. That's just the beginning of the workday.
Yeah. Speaking of time, our Oakland Heart Rolex time is 3 hours and 24 minutes away from kickoff out there in Tampa Bay today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mike D'Antilio joins us to give us his draft day reflections. We'll talk a little Mike Evans and Levante David here on the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL.
And he's going to be hit from behind. David Onyemata with his second sack of the first quarter. Loss of 10 on the play.
Yeah, David Onyemata, he's been a beast. Really, that entire defensive front has been a beast. Mike D'Antilio has told us a lot about Onyemata since he first came to the Saints a couple of years ago. Welcome back in to Fans First Take. And speaking of Mike D, here he comes with his draft day reflections brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodeau Regional Medical Center, keeping
Mikey
you safely in the game. Mike D'Antilio, welcome on in, man. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Hey, we're great. Let's look back at the draft. We got to start off with the battle that I think is one of the greatest player v. player rivalries right now in this division, and that's Marshon Lattimore against Mike Evans out of Texas A&M. Mike, and everybody was high on him, and you had him at number 2 on your draft board a few years ago.
Yeah, you know, his story is unbelievable. He didn't play football until his senior year in high school. He really wanted to play college basketball. And, he pieced together 1 year. He was going to attend Tulane. He was going to play football at Tulane. At the last minute, two recruits that had verbally committed to Texas A&M pulled out. And they went somewhere else. A&M offered, and Mike Evans ends up at A&M.
Wow.
So it's kind of been a wild ride for him. And then you see what happened. He had the red shirt year, and then afterwards became Johnny Manziel's target at A&M. And when you look at his career in the NFL, that's big, huge target guy. There isn't a lot of – come on. Matching up with him at 6'5 and a half, you know,
that's
you barely get
order.
A corner today.
Yeah, that
ain't working. So the thing that jumps out at me with him is he's averaging 15.2 yards a catch throughout his career. Listen, you think of him as a short-range guy, but, man, when you're averaging 15 yards a catch, you are making some traffic after the reception. So it's a great matchup to watch between the two of them. There's no love lost between the two of them, and they're going to get at it today. But Jameis Winston, in crucial situations, looks his way. And if I was Jameis, so would I.
Yeah, I agree with you. We've seen him make an awful lot of big plays, and I think he's – you know, the last matchup, he kind of had Lattimore's number there. And I think this has been good to watch. Last year, you know, it was reversed. You know, Marshawn did a good job against him. But this year, it's so far in game one, it's been a different story.
Yeah, Steve, the one thing about it is the last time they played, he was high school open. You know, in the NFL, you get these little windows, to complete a pass. Man, in that first game, he was open by yards, plural.
Yeah.
I mean,
big giant garage door windows.
Yeah. It wasn't these little windows. It was a huge one. And that's the thing today. I'm interested in the weather because of the fact that, it is raining there and everything else. And we're going to go through it more in the pregame, but this football team turns the football over one out of every five times they get it on offense.
Pooh, boy, that's...
And now you're playing on this weather. They are minus 18 giveaway takeaway, and you're going to play in this weather today? That normally doesn't hold well.
That's a bad recipe.
No doubt about it. And Mike Evans, it's kind of crazy. You know, when I was getting ready to play football, everybody told me, no, you can't be a receiver. You're too big, Seth. Be a tight end, be a lineman, something like that. Mike Evans is my size. I'm 6'6", 6'7". Mike Evans is 6'5", and 230. These receivers in the NFL are just absurd right now. Mike Dottiglia's Draft Day Reflections here, brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodeau Regional Medical Center. And, Mike, let's go to the defensive side. And I just love Lavonte David. I have since he came into the league out of Nebraska. What do you think about this kid?
You know, the crazy thing about him was he was a JUCO kid. He was a highly recruited football player coming out of the Miami, I think it's Miami Northwestern High School in Florida. And he didn't qualify academically. So he went to JUCO. And then he hit, you know, the scene at Nebraska. And he was unbelievable in the Big 12. Again, not the biggest guy around, and that he's a little over 6 foot tall. He's 230 pounds, but you can't teach instincts. You can't teach football smarts. He's rarely out of position. He's always where he's supposed to be. And when you think about this, he's played a little over 6.5 seasons in the NFL. He's got 847 tackles. Guys, 612 of those are solo tackles.
That's productive. Yeah, that look. He's a fast flow character. I can tell you that. I mean, he is sideline to sideline, and the only thing I see that he's vulnerable to is cutback, because sometimes he's so fast flow, but at the same time, boy, he's got a lot of speed to make up.
Yeah, he does. Mike and Steve, isn't this the kind of prototypical linebacker now in the NFL where he's smaller but he's quick and can cover?
Yes, and that's the thing. You know, in a little less than seven seasons, he's had 10 pass interceptions and 38 pass deflections. And listen, wow. I don't have to take him off the field, and 18 forced fumbles. That's something to remember today, because on a wet field, ball security is going to be paramount. That, you know, in a little less than seven seasons, he's forced 18 fumbles. The one thing that – you know, if he is Derrick Brooks, Steve.
Yeah.
You had that opportunity. You've seen him so many years, but he was on great Tampa Bay teams that were in huge games. You look at Levante, he never has gotten that opportunity. But you look at his numbers and what he's done, and look at what Derrick Brooks did, they're very similar type football players. It's just that Brooks played on those teams in Tampa that were playing for NFC titles and Super Bowls. And Levante's never been in that spot. And I think in today's world, we look at sacks. That's not what they ask him to do. They ask him to be a flow linebacker and a coverage guy.
Yeah.
And so he isn't mentioned a lot of times amongst the best of the best, which he really is. He's amongst the best of the best as far as a weak side linebacker in the NFL.
You know, Mike, in the evolution of this game, look, I can remember when I was playing, linebackers were 250, 260, just these big thumpers in the middle that you didn't ask to drop back and cover too many guys. They might have to cover a tight end, but, you know, they're covering guys like Hobie. And they're not covering, you know, Jimmy Graham or something like that. So at the same time, you know, now you got these guys that are, you know, like running backs for all intents and purposes, you know, about the same speed and type size. And those guys are now your sort of prototypical linebackers.
All right, guys, we got to leave it there up at a hard break. Mike, really appreciate it, man. We'll hear you on Countdown to Kickoff in just a little bit.
All right, guys, y'all take care.
All right, Mike Stelier's Draft Day Reflections, again, brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center of the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, keeping you safe in the game. We'll take a break. We're back with our buddy down under, Tony in Australia, coming up here on Fans First Take on WWL.
Saints and Drew Brees in the shotgun, brings Austin Carr across the formation. Alvin Kamara in the backfield. Brees drops back, has a man wide open in the end zone. Mike Thomas for the touchdown, and the New Orleans Saints answer after the fumble return, 23-31 here in the dome with 55 seconds from.
Hopefully we see that connection return today after the offensive debacle 10 days ago in Dallas. Let's go to the phone lines here. Tony in Australia, what's going on today, man?
Steven Seth, how are you?
Good. What's up, Tony?
I was as shocked as everyone else last week.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that happens every now and then.
Yeah. We couldn't do a thing. Anyway, what's the weather like in Tampa Bay?
Not good. Rainy, monsoon, tarp on the field, man. It's going to be wet.
Well, that's good because we should take care of business today, so long as we don't get too cocky. But if the O-line allows Drew to creep on his feet and the defensive get after Winston, we'll be okay. I don't think it'll be a big scoring game. I think it'll be pretty tight. But so long as we get the win and pray that the Bears do the right thing by us and take care of the Rams, give them their second loss.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think Mike told us, Tony, that I don't know if you were listening or not, that Tampa Bay, just their turnover margin is unbelievable. They're... You know, they lose the ball at one out of every five.
Yeah, 20% of their possessions.
20%
one out of every
possessions.
Five possessions
they lose,
are turning
they
it
lose
over.
The ball. They're either, you know, fumbling it or turning it over. So this kind of weather and our kind of defense, that's a bad mix for that.
No doubt. Tony, really appreciate it, man. Enjoy the game down there in Melbourne, Australia. We got to take a break. When we come back, another hour here of Fans First Take. Your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Text line 870-870. We'll also talk a little bit about that Heisman Trophy ceremony yesterday. Kyler Murray winning that one. Steve and I have our thoughts. Saints Bucks coming up at noon.
Yeah.
Back after this, throwing it over to news.